Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Philip Neri All Things Wing Chun podcast. It's your host, DeMaurice Waddell, with Sifu Philip Neri. Hello, Sifu. How are you?
Just fine, Don. How you doing?
Great. It's wonderful to start this podcast. I know we're going to talk a lot in the next coming episodes. But I know for this particular episode, we want to find out who is Philip Neri. Who is Philip Neri, the Sifu of the Philip Neri School of Wing Chun here in Chicago?
Well, you know, I'm just a regular guy who stumbled into a Wing Chun gym and finds himself a Wing Chun instructor 40 years later, essentially. I came to Chicago in the mid-70s to go to the University of Chicago, and I can't say it was the greatest. It was an excellent education, but it certainly wasn't the greatest choice for me personally. I had other plans and was pursuing whatever career goals I had in mind. And about 1983, I'd actually been in Europe for a while, in German-speaking Europe, and came back to the States, and somebody opened a Wing Chun gym about half a mile from my house in Rogers Park at Broadway and Devon. That was Steve Swift, and I trained with him up until 1989 when he closed his doors and moved back to Rochester, New York, and pursued his career elsewhere. But when he left, I had his permission to open my own school, which I did. I started out teaching privately, mostly the guys from the Board of Trade. I was doing like 40 private lessons a week, and that was pretty draining. and I got the idea, hey, maybe I should open the class to the public and distribute some, well, conserve a little energy and, you know, teach my VIPs. And that's pretty much what I've been doing ever since. In the mid-90s, my first teacher, Steve Swift, came back to Chicago, and he brought with him Yip Chun and Yip Ching, the two sons of Yip Man, and their translator and student, Grandmaster Samuel Kwok. And over a couple of days, they were in town doing a very successful seminar that was attended by over 100 people and people coming from all over to hear what the two sons of Yip Man had to say. It was great meeting them, great training with them, and towards the end of it, Grandmaster Kwok asked me to come train with them in England, and I thought about it, and so I did. So, and I never really looked back. Training with Samuel Kwok has pushed my Wing Chun to another level and made me aware of some of the subtleties and much more a more sophisticated approach to the use of energy, which would affect your choice of technique, and also just to become a more, well, a critical thinker in the martial arts, to think for yourself, to be self-reliant, not dependent on every word that your Sifu says. But, you know, I was encouraged to go think for myself and develop myself.
Okay. And now you spoke about energy, and I know we're going to talk about some of the nuts and bolts of Wing Chun. But for those folks who don't know much about Wing Chun, what would you tell them the benefits of looking at Wing Chun as a martial art, not only in the self-defense realm, but actually in the fitness realm?
Well, of course, you're going to get the same benefits that you would expect from any martial arts study if you have a good teacher, which you already mentioned self-defense. It'll improve your confidence. You'll get in better shape. I mean, nothing's a better stress relief than hitting a bag or some focus meds. But Wing Chun specifically is unique, as are all martial arts. But some of the specifics of it it's a Southern Chinese style where the kicks tend to be a little bit lower, and that enables us to get the hands and the feet working at the same time. And again, rather than going into detail about what Wing Chun is, the first thing really is you're going to get exposure to the Chinese culture and the holistic approach to training, fitness. I think Qigong is a very important part of martial arts study, certainly Chinese martial arts, and we offer that. And we offer that because the main purpose for studying Kung Fu is for your health. So you develop a more healthy lifestyle, and you pay a lot more attention to what you eat, some of the choices you make throughout the week as for your habits. And, you know, instead of heading to happy hour after work, you go to the gym, you go train. Wing Chun is... It requires a lot of awareness of both hands and the feet. So that's actually four weapons in play at any one time, and that's a lot to keep. You're not going to be able to keep all of it in mind at one time. But balancing all of that really works the left and right side of the brain, and it forces you to live in the present moment so that you see what's really happening. And working with things as they really are, as opposed to what we want them to be, is an incredible life lesson. Another thing that you learn from Wing Chun is that, it's a difficult system. It's elegantly simple, but the details are difficult. It's easy to access, but to really develop and use your energy correctly and to have a good choice of technique under pressure, that's difficult. And some things you're good at, anybody. Very few people come in and they just breeze through it. I've never really seen that happen. But on the other hand, you learn that a weakness can become a strength. And that's a fantastic lesson. That with practice, something that's challenging, difficult, troublesome, if you just stay at it, it can become your strongest, the strongest area of your game. So, I think there's some other benefits that you get, which are, you're working in a diverse cultural environment of studying a Chinese martial art with people you probably wouldn't rub shoulders with in your daily life. So there's a certain amount of cultural awareness and working with other people that's really... really very, very useful, I think. And at the end of the day, you're investing in yourself. You're developing yourself.
Okay. I want to touch on investing in yourself a little bit later, but those folks who don't know what Qigong is, because you mentioned that earlier, can you give kind of a brief explanation of what that is?
Well, one formal definition is... physical movement with a regulated breath. But according to holistic traditional Chinese medicine, we have an animating force within us, our life force, which is linked to the life force of the world around us. And that force is called qi. And we're all born with a certain amount of qi, but we can add to it, we can augment it, we can preserve it, which is a very important part of Qigong study. But the actual practice of Qigong is breathing, relaxation exercises, coordinated with specific physical movements to achieve a certain end. The system that we teach at the Philip Nearing School of Wing Chun is the Jin Jang Gong system, which means channels and sinews. So you're starting with the very basics of Chinese martial arts, which, A, if you get your qi to flow better through the meridians, through the channels through which it flows throughout your body, your health will improve and your energy will improve, and you'll be more in tune with what your body really needs and really wants, as opposed to forcing ourselves through artificially through, well, through life. You know, I've got to do this at such and such a time, so I'm going to be there. You learn to go a little bit, well, it teaches you to go a little bit more with the flow of what's actually going on in the world around you and in your body. So there are exercises designed to improve your internal energy, your internal health, nourish the organs of the body. In many ways, you're doing physical exercises for your internal organs, which is beyond the scope of most workout routines, or at least as we envision them here in the West.
Okay, great.
I was going to say, you know, you're going to find that with Qigong study that you recover more quickly, and for those of us who are older athletes, that's a really important thing, because recovery is the most difficult thing about pursuing sports throughout your life. And you can recover more quickly from being ill. There is a form in the system that we teach to improve the immune system. So your overall health will be much, much better. Some aspects of Qigong can improve your strength, your grip, and it can improve your power as you punch. So there's a direct martial application for this stuff as well. So it's about your physical health, but it's also about your physical prowess as well.
Yeah, and you're running right into what I wanted to ask you next about the age group, or people saying, you know what, I would want to, you know, take a martial arts class, but maybe I'm too old, or I'm too weak as a woman, or, you know, I wouldn't fare, you know, against bigger people, things of that sort. Can you kind of explain how Wing Chun can actually help folks who are older, or is it for folks that are older or for women?
Well, Wing Chun was, so the story goes, okay, the legend is that it was developed by a woman, a Buddhist nun, and refined by a young girl from Foshan in Guangdong province. And, of course, it's continued to evolve and develop, but initially it was developed by a woman, and so the story goes. And the idea is that a smaller or less strong person can deal with a larger person if they don't directly confront force with force. So that has implications for older people who are not in their physical prime anymore. It has implications for teens, younger adults that haven't reached their full maturity physically. It certainly is very, very relevant for women, and I think it's an ideal art for a woman to study simply because it really is effective if you learn how to deflect and not directly confront your opponent, but to put yourself in the right position and be able to strike to the vital areas with multiple blows. Which is, you know, all pure self-defense, but that is certainly one of the reasons a lot of people come in the first place. But I don't think there's really any age limit on the back end. Early on, Wing Chun's a little bit like a book without pictures, and most Wing Chun teachers have not done terribly well teaching Wing Chun as Wing Chun early on. I mean, I've heard ages like 7. 10 is about the general mean for, well, the general agreed upon age for Wing Chun. Wing Chun's also very aggressive, and you might not want that in a child's life that early, but it's a little tough teaching, you know, a 6, 7-year-old Wing Chun just simply because it's not spectacular. It's very subtle. It's very, very direct. So I don't really think there are many age limits. Just at what age would it be appropriate for a young person to start? And I think it's ideal for people of all ages, all sizes, because, well, it is effective. It's a great fighting system, and it's excellent in self-defense situations, street self-defense situations. But it's also something you can do your whole life. As long as you're ambulatory, you can train Wing Chun. You may not be able to train it at the age of 60 the way that you would have if you were 25, but that's neither here nor there. It's still a practice that's rewarding in and of itself. And to be honest, I was a late starter. I spent my early life playing an awful lot of soccer, and I didn't study martial arts at all. I dabbled in them briefly before taking an extended trip to Europe, and by and large, I thought the people at the school I went to were a little strange, a little cultish, and I had that arched eyebrow that most athletes would have, when somebody starts talking about, some mystical concepts and using a little fortune cookie Chinese philosophy to get your attention. And, it's like, that's really great. Now what do we do on the floor? I just didn't get that. And Wing Chun's really direct, and I actually had I quite enjoyed my first conversation and training with Steve Swift, just because we hit it off well, and he really didn't come to me with a whole lot of mystical stuff. This is a pure, very direct, simple, logical system based on science, and it should be practiced as such. So, I like the no-nonsense approach of all of that as well.
Okay. Before we go to the actual school, which I'm proud to be a student of your school, I wanted to get to some of the topics or some of the things that I know we're going to be talking about in the upcoming episodes on this podcast. So what are some of the things that people can expect listening to the Philip Meering All Things Wing Chun podcast?
Well, I don't know about like most things. I think that martial arts in the United States are fairly unique. I think we are Johnny-come-latelys to the martial arts world. If an art was developed a few hundred years ago in China, well, they're way ahead of us with those particular arts. And when we think of martial arts, we don't think of our own martial arts. We simply think Asian and, of course, boxing, wrestling, fencing. These are all martial arts that manifest themselves in different forms. But, what can you expect? What can we expect to talk about? Well, things like this. What is the state of modern Wing Chun? Where do we stand in the martial arts community? What do we bring to the table? We could expand this to, is Wing Chun suitable for MMA? Should we compete in Wing Chun or just keep it for street self-defense? We can talk about martial arts in our current society. We can talk about the differences between when I started in 1983, and I was 33, by the way. I was in good shape, but I was 33 when I started, which is very late in terms of athletics. If you pick up any discipline in your 30s, you may do well, but you're not going to be getting any phone calls from any major teams. And unless this is the miracle of all miracles. But we do these things for ourselves. And that's worth talking about, too. I think we could go into what's in it for you studying martial arts, specifically Wing Chun, but why do this in the first place? Why is this something that gets you off the couch when, playing golf or tennis or swimming a few laps every day isn't doing it? So there are endless topics to discuss in martial arts and in Wing Chun. Wing Chun's actually a fairly widely spread system, second only to Tai Chi in Chinese martial arts. It's held up very well in terms of self-defense study with the last 20 plus years of MMA and grappling becoming much more visible, much more important, and taken much more seriously. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is serious as a heart attack, and if you don't pay attention to it in modern martial arts and the effect that it's had since those early UFCs, you're out of the loop. So,
yeah.
You know, these are things that we need to address too. Well, what's the state of modern martial arts, and what do we get out of it? And I think we could just expand on what we've been talking about with me in the larger sense, in the microcosm, and speak in the about the macrocosm of martial arts.
Not only are you a Sifu, been running your school for a long time, but what people may not know about you is that you are a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu also. And can
Absolutely.
You talk a little bit of your experience with working with Carlson Gracie and how that kind of came about?
Absolutely. I had a student, Jeff Neal. We're still friends. He was very instrumental in bringing the Carlson Gracie team to Chicago. There were several places around town bringing in Hicks and Gracie, and people were frantic studying it, and it was to learn jiu-jitsu in the mid-90s, and a little bit like when I started Wing Chun. I started at the first real Wing Chun school in Chicago, and people wanted to learn Bruce Lee's art. But things change, martial arts evolve, and of course pop culture evolves and changes all the time. That's the nature of pop culture, trendiness and change. When this became available, people were like, well, where can I study it? Well, anyway, Jeff was very instrumental in bringing Carlson Gracie Jr., Heiji Ogo, and a number of well-known jiu-jitsu players in the Carlson Gracie team to Chicago, and eventually Carlson Gracie Sr. himself moved here. And we were doing a seminar, and Jeff had come back to study a little bit with me because he liked Wing Chun, and he wanted to do something for himself. And apropos, that's how I ended up in jiu-jitsu. We were doing a seminar with my Sifu, Grandmaster Samuel Kwok, and nobody really does it better than Samuel Kwok when it comes to showing benefits of Wing Chun. I mean, just sit back, if you've seen it 100 times or I've seen it 1,000, he's going to lay it out there as good as anybody on the planet. And, Carlson came by to see. Jeff and I put our heads together, and we managed to get Carlson Gracie there. We had a large seminar with about 40 or 50 people there. It was perfect. Grandmaster Kwok laid it on thick. You could see the wheels turning in Carlson's head. And, he said, this system was jiu-jitsu, ooh. And I totally agreed with him because I think that, of course, I'm a Wing Chun guy, but I know some of the positions that you can get from Wing Chun that'll bring you very close for a takedown. And, I've been toying with this idea for 30 years, actually. So anyway, Carlson Gracie looks at me. We're doing photo ops, with everybody. And he looks at me and goes, why don't you come train at my gym? And that's one of those moments in your life where you go, Carlson Gracie just asked me to come train in his gym.
Right,
I'm 53.
Right.
And of course, you're looking at yourself in the mirror. It's like either you go or you can't look at yourself in the mirror every day. So we did. I thought about it and I went on over there. And, I back in those days, I had a Colombian ponytail of sorts. And I get a little stick about it to this day. And he came by and he gave it a little tug and winked at me. And next time I showed up with my hair trimmed, and I've had short hair ever since for obvious reasons. Look, this is hard enough without handing somebody a handle.
Right.
I mean, I was completely mystified. I had no idea what it was about. I'm not a grappler, but I am now. So I stayed with it, and I got my blue belt from Carlson, which was a big achievement for me. I mean, I honestly felt that I'd accomplished something because I felt that at that point I was 55, 56. I'd been there a couple of years. He was notoriously parsimonious about handing out belts, and that major belt worth all the more. There was one guy we were training with, and you get four stripes on your white belt, and then the next promotion is a blue belt. He had four stripes on his white belt, and Senior looked at him and just gave him a fifth, which doesn't exist. You know, and we all had a good laugh at the other guy's expense on that. And it was, you know, I honestly loved it. I thought it was a beautiful augmentation to Wing Chun. Because you can end up on the ground. I've ended up on the ground in a self-defense situation with Wing Chun myself. It's just that nobody knew what to do, and the only thing I could think of to do was stand up and keep going, because rule number one of self-defense is don't stop. But anyway, I went over there, and most of the people were twice my size and half my age, and he took good care of me, and so did Jeff, and so did a lot of the guys. And one of my most enjoyable thing about it was on Wednesdays or Fridays, usually. We had two morning classes on Tuesday and Thursday, but Wednesday or Friday, we'd do a private lesson. And by we, I mean the over-the-hill gang. There were some purple belts, blue belts, another white belt, Colin Lane and myself. And I even asked one of the purple belts, I says, why are you even letting me in here? And he goes, you're over 40 and you have no regard for your personal safety. So, you know, I probably shouldn't tell people the price. He was charging, you know, anywhere from four to eight guys, $50 an hour. And there were people around the world that would have paid thousands of dollars for the lessons we got. Now, we did the best we could with what we had, but we spent time with him. He was Carlson was everybody's friend, unless he didn't like you. And that was usually pretty clear. But, he made everyone feel special. He'd pull you aside. He'd tell you what you needed to do, whether you're a white belt or a black belt. And if you showed up and trained and gave your best, he'd let you train. He wouldn't hold back, and he'd give you everything he had. And that was a big wake-up call for me in terms of martial arts leadership, because if you take a look at the phone – well, what phone book? But if you take a look at martial arts in Chicago online, you're going to see hundreds of schools listed. Now, does that mean you have hundreds of martial arts leaders? No. There are hundreds of American football players. There are hundreds of baseball players. Who's a team leader? Sometimes a pro team can't find a team leader. So they're few and far between. But people that led by example and were real clear about, well, we don't have belts in Wing Chun, but belts in jiu-jitsu mean something, okay? You're not even going to see a black belt until you've been around. Unless you're competing, you're not going to see one until you're 10 years, 15 years into the art. Okay? Now, they start them a little bit younger down there in Brazil, but you earn that belt. You can confidently say when you have that belt that you paid the price. And that is a deep personal satisfaction for everybody I know that has gotten everything from a stripe on their white belt to their black belt. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a standard that hasn't, well, I think if you talk to some of the old school guys, they feel that with the widespread, the expansion of jiu-jitsu, that's the word I'm looking for. With the expansion of jiu-jitsu, some of the qualities diminished. But when you work with people right from the headwaters, when you work with people, Brazilian guys from Rio de Janeiro that have been around for 30 years, you're getting the real deal.
Right.
And when you get the real deal, they're going to, you know, they're going to demand, but there's a reward. And they have the infrastructure there to develop themselves further, which is definitely something we could discuss in jiu-jitsu, pardon me, in Wing Chun as well, about how do we develop and go to the next level.
Okay. Now, my next question is a two-part question. Your location here in Chicago and the hours and what you offer here in Chicago, and what will people see when they walk into the Philip Nearing School of Wing Chun?
Well, you know, I hope they think that they see a beautiful gym. We've recently moved to 2463 West Chicago Avenue, and 2643. What am I saying? 2643 West Chicago, and we were able. It's just a beautiful square space, which I can't tell you how hard it is to find an open square space that isn't an outrageous price. But anyway, there's a facility that's designed to study Wing Chun. You're also going to see a lot of affable people that came to train. I feel that attitude and courtesy, decorum, and martial arts ethics are very, very important. And I think that, you know, I want people to see that in our students. I don't want a bunch of arrogant black belts sitting around looking at fresh meat walking in the door. And that's not what you're going to see at my gym. You're going to see a bunch of guys that are willing to help new people. It's to everybody's benefit that we have new people coming in. New people are the lifeblood of any school. Once new people develop, their job is to light a fire under the tail of the senior students so they don't get too complacent. It gives senior students an opportunity to work on both basics and situational things with newer students. It's a good training opportunity for everybody, or a good training situation for everybody. And of course, new students are the future.
Okay. And give the location again, if you can.
Let's get it right this time. It's 2643 West Chicago. The logo is all over the door, but we are not in the entrance to the main gym that is there. We're in the building, but not in the facility. Just call, you know, arrange an appointment, and we'll be happy to have you come by for a free trial lesson. I'm happy to talk with you anytime about what you want to, about the different ways to join the school.
And what is the number that people can reach you, and if you have an email address or a website they can reach you at?
Okay, sure. It's our phone number is 312-282-9571 and wingchunchicago@gmail.com. wingchunchicago@gmail.com.
Okay, and do you have any parting words on this first podcast of the Philip Nearing All Things Wing Chun podcast?
Well, we hope to continue this. I think Don and I will continue working on this this podcast. I'm looking forward to discussing sometimes some controversial issues. I'm looking forward to interacting with the public. And I'm looking forward to seeing some new people in the gym. Invest in yourself. Come on by the gym and see what we offer. And, of course, find something to train. Go into your life, you know, you're not done as an athlete when you get out of high school, believe me. So find some things you want to do. Stay fit, stay healthy, and give martial arts a look. You can do them all of your life.
And ladies and gentlemen, this man, my Sifu, is a walking billboard of this. I'm not going to give his age, but if you were paying attention, you can do the math with the age. But he's a walking billboard of investing in yourself. And when people guess his age, they don't guess it right because he looks a lot younger than he really is. Did I do okay not saying your age or anything like that?
You can tell him it ain't a secret. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of proud of it. And, you know, look, when you're a baby boomer, it ain't too hard to do the math. And I just like to think that I'm fairly open-minded. I'm not set in my ways and turning into a crotchety old boomer. That's one of the great things for me. And one of the great things for me in this business is it keeps me around younger people. It keeps me involved with pop culture, which I can cherry pick. Okay, we all have that privilege anyway. But it keeps me involved in the world at large. You know, I'm not separated from it. If I were any other profession, I'd probably be retired, or I might be. Well, who knows? I mean, if given the choices that we all have, had I made other choices instead of opting to train harder or train and invest in myself, I could be on oxygen right now.
Right.
I'm meant. And right. I'm not. So, you know, that I think is one of the good things about it all.
Okay. Well, folks, that is the first episode of the Philip Nearing All Things Wing Chun podcast right here on Chocolate 108.1 WYDL on Blog Talk Radio. And we'll be coming at you with more episodes talking all things Wing Chun. Take care.